Good morning and happy Lent. I know that doesn't sound like the right thing to say, but it is. We should be happy about Lent. This is an opportunity, as we've been talking about the last week and a half, for us to grow closer to the Lord. And so there is joy to be found in our time of penance, in our time of giving back, in our time of waiting for the Lord to fulfill us and in His promises of our life. And so this morning in the Scriptures, we get this account of what is called the Transfiguration. And so Father Mike, I always love Father Mike when he walks in the morning. If I ever have any question about what Sunday it is, he'll remind me. He walked in this morning, he looked at the bulletin, he said, Transfiguration Sunday. And I said, yes, it is. We hear in the first reading this morning this passage, and we hear about this character that is called Abram. Now, most of us go, every time we hear them, we go, they messed up. They meant to say Abraham. No, Frank said it absolutely right. This was Abraham before he became Abraham. This was Abram before the covenant. This was Abram when God met him and made promises to him, and his life began to change, and he became Abraham, the father of a great nation. Plays heavily into the gospel this morning, because as the chosen disciples that were up on the mountain with Jesus, they're sitting there and they see all of a sudden Jesus with Moses and Elijah, and they began to reflect back on the past. Rather than seeing Jesus as the future, they began to reflect back on the past. Oh, that's Moses. That's the great prophet, Moses, who led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Oh, that's Elijah, the one who caught fire from heaven. That wasn't what they were supposed to be seeing. They were supposed to recognize that Jesus had taken a place above even the greats of their past, what we call today the ancients. And Peter, as he so often does, says what human nature brought him to say. Oh Lord, it's good that we're here. We'll make a tent for each of you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you, Lord. Not the right answer. I don't know about you, but I find so many times in my walk with the Lord, I think I've got a really good answer until it comes out of my mouth. And then I realize it wasn't such a good answer. I probably should have paused for a minute, taken a deep breath, and said it quietly to myself so I could hear it before I got out in public. See, in that moment, Scripture tells us that the very countenance of Jesus was transfigured. In that moment, His divinity shone through His humanity. In that moment, the disciples' view of Him radically changed. How do we know this? Because Jesus tells them, don't you dare go tell anybody about this yet. It's not time yet. You go off this mountain, you got to keep that one yourself for a little while. I don't know about you, that'd be pretty tough to do. I've just seen something phenomenal. I've just seen something that nobody's ever seen before. Now let's realize what's really being shown to us in this passage today. That what happened to Jesus on that mountain is something that's necessary to happen to you and to me. We're not merely called to know about Jesus. We're not merely called to learn about Him by reading or hearing Scripture. We're called to be transfigured into the image and likeness of God through Jesus Christ. And that's a process that takes time. And it takes diligence. And it takes intention. This morning in our discipleship class, we were talking about this whole thing of transformation. We didn't use the word, but the idea was there. And the question got asked, how do we do this? Well, I would argue it's not an easy process, but it's also not one that is overly difficult. It takes intention and it takes purpose. And it starts with this ideology. I'm not who I am today. I'm not who I was yesterday. And I'm not yet who I will be tomorrow. Your human nature and my human nature doesn't like change. It likes consistency. We find this in the psychology a lot of times with children. Children who will act up in certain ways in certain situations. If you put them in a consistent environment, they may fight against it, but they'll thrive in it. Pure evidence of our human nature. We like consistency. We like to know what's coming. We don't like surprises. But our life in Christ is one that is not about being constant. It's about growing every day. If there's anything constant, it's the growth. It's the change that's coming. And we have to be willing to allow ourselves to be transfigured into the image and likeness of Christ. And it doesn't happen instantaneously. It's a process. Yes, that moment that we are redeemed or that moment that we are saved happens in a moment, but the process goes on beyond there. That's just the beginning. But then we have to allow that change to take place. And it sometimes is uncomfortable. Very often we find ourselves going, oh, but I like the way I was doing things. But it may not be the way God wants them done in the future. It's not to say that all the things you've done in the past are bad. They just may not be the way it's supposed to be done tomorrow. One of the things I love about Scripture is that it's ever revealing. I sometimes read a Scripture and I go, I never saw that there before. There's two reasons for that. One, I wasn't able to see it there. Or number two, God wasn't ready for me to see it there. I needed to learn one level before I could learn the next level. It doesn't mean that the meaning of the Scripture changes. It becomes bigger, it becomes bolder, it becomes stronger. It has a greater impact on my life. And I would argue the sacraments of the church are much the same. When I was a child and I first started coming forward to receive the Eucharist, it had a very simplistic meaning. As I became older and I could understand the depth of Christ's sacrifice for me, that meaning became deeper and deeper and deeper. The meaning didn't change, it became deeper, it became bigger. And that's the way our life is supposed to be in Christ. If you've known the Lord for half of your life, and you go, man, if you could only see what I was beforehand. I don't want to see what you were beforehand. I want to see what you're going to be. I want to see the change that is still waiting to take place. Because that's what Christ is calling all of us to. And it's what he called the disciples to. Jesus didn't choose men who knew everything about everything. He didn't even choose religious men. He chose fishermen and tax collectors and people we probably wouldn't choose. If we were picking and choosing, they'd probably be at the bottom of the list. But Jesus put them at the top of the list. And I want to say to you this morning that Jesus has put you on the top of his list as well. And he's called you to receive him in the fullness of life and to allow yourselves to be transfigured into his image and into his likeness. This is the call of Christ on all of our lives. Don't get comfortable. I talked about this on Ash Wednesday. Part of the call of this season is to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Don't get comfortable in your ways. Don't get comfortable in your devotions. Get comfortable with being uncomfortable in your ways and comfortable with being uncomfortable in your devotions and allowing the transfiguration of Christ to take place in your life. We're only 10 days in, 11 days in. Let us continue to embrace this season of Lent. Let us continue to allow the love of Christ to change us and mold us into his image. And may we someday look forward to the day of transfiguration when we too will become like him and be welcomed into his kingdom forever. Amen.